I'm not, sorry, too enamored with their, oh, was he started? That's right, we had to be live.
So they want to call this thing to order if you have a chair.
We're in order.
Okay.
Are you going to take notes, Al?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I think so far we just observed that the California model, it didn't seem to indicate that they were going toward a uniform system in any way, but there were a few useful pieces of information in it that might be helpful in Colorado. So just to recap what we may have missed when we weren't recording.
And then definitions, I mean, that's a good place to start, is definitions, you know, and whatever we're going to do. What is a uniform system? And, you know, that's one of the definitions we've had trouble with talking about, even in with the uniform voting system. You know, what, you know, it, actually the way this looks is the voting equipment itself. Is kind of the, where they come from. But by them not going into a uniform voting system in California, they really didn't define that. I didn't see anything that would define what a voting system is. Not a uniform, but what a voting system is.
They said any voting system, any voting machine, voting device, or voting tabulating device that does not pre-scored punch card ballots. That's what they came up with.
Yeah. But
they also provided a grandfather clause in it, which where we started from.
Yeah.
That we were going to grandfather what people had already.
I like the grandfather clause idea. You know, did you like what they had to say about the grandfather?
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
I thought it was, too.
Provide a voting system that has been... If they had already provided a voting system that had been tested and approved for use before January 1, 2014, it would be deemed to be certified or conditionally approved.
So it's pretty simple. And you know, the simpler we keep things, I think the better off we are. Okay. Three of us agree on that one.
One thing about the funding, I didn't quite understand the bonding deal. It sounded like that they had a bonding act of 2002, which would have been the HAVA grant,
it
appears that they have money left.
Well, in 2002, it was more than the HAVA. They did a bonding grant in California, and legislature gave money to that fund, and as it was, it's supposed to kind of replenish itself, is the way, and I think we ought to get that act.
What was the replenishment from? General funds?
You know, so much a year goes into that from the state, and then so much, you know, the county also puts, when they buy equipment, they have to put so much in to the bonding, you know, or we need to get that act. I remember when it went through, but to have the details of it, I don't have those, but he was a legislator. It was before the Secretary of State now. He was a legislator, and then she beat him. He did a vacancy, and then she beat him when she ran.
Because it says further down on like page 26 of the bill, it talks about that the county matches fund monies at a ratio of $1 of county monies for every $3 of fund money.
Right.
And so it seems to me like the word bond is a little bit misleading. It's not that they're paying the state back, if I understood it correctly. There's this fund, essentially, and then they match.
They also get so much per registered elector every year, or so much for every registered elector that they register, or something like that. There's their law, and I think part of that money goes into that fund, kind of like our... For running an election, the funds that is allocated by the state to the clerks.
So is it like a recording technology fund?
And it's not, I don't know if it's worded that way or not, Sheila. Yeah, we need to pull that information. Are you trying to pull it now?
I'm trying to pull it now.
Yeah, there's no connectivity.
I did. I logged into the Jefferson County as a guest. It says in September 2001, I give you the caveat. This is what I pulled off the website. And so who knows who wrote it. I'm not guaranteeing its authenticity. But since September 2001, the California legislature passed the Voter Modernization Bond Act of 2002 to provide $200 million in state bond funds to help counties pay for new voting equipment. And it was placed on the ballot and approved by 52% of the people. And this is the fund money is used on that 1-to-3 ratio that you were just talking about. And they have a voting modernization board of 5 people. And HAVA gave them another $195 million in government funds and $57 million to replace punch card voting.
Isn't it built to where it's supposed to kind of replenish itself as it goes?
More than I can get out of here. So that's at least a little bit of the background of where it came from.
I think that helps.
So it was capitalized initially with $394,000.
Million.
Million, I meant.
1,000 won't go very far.
No. I agree with Denver. Yeah.
So that's an idea that we hadn't even thought about.
They were really aggressive right out the gate, weren't they?
Yeah. And they got 52% of the people to vote for it.
Wow.
So the homework I did was just working with Rich to get kind of a one of two of you will have to share because I only brought 6 guys.
No, Tiffany and I.
Yes, you can. Welcome.
No, so I just kind of looked at in terms of county size and registered voters where natural breaks would be and what kind of percentages you'd have. So you've got almost half the state in the 4 large counties. And then but then there's a huge gap between Arapahoe and Adams in terms of voters. And then between Mesa and Broomfield is another very large gap. And if you broke the lines there, you'd have, in the large counties, you've got about 47% of the voters. You've got about 37% in the mid-size and 16% in the small size. So if we're talking the governance model, I think we want to make sure we've got one from each of those groups. Mm-hmm. And you can shift the numbers, but it's probably, there seems like fairly natural breaks at 50,000 and 300,000.
Is this similar to the 1303 divided it up into 3 categories?
Tiers,
the 3 mm-hmm. tiers? Is it close?
Pretty close. I think LaPlante.
Put you in 2.
La Plata, Montrose, some of them that are in the upper end small counties were in tier 2.
La Plata, Garfield, Eagle, I imagine.
They're missing everything above 25,000.
Or even 20, actually.
Is what they use for, they had to have the 3 sites instead of 1.
But if you go with the 1 for 15,000, which I think is the formula for BSPCs.
For a coordinator.
For a coordinator.
Yeah.
Is it
coordinator? No. Coordinator is just a number of
motor vehicle, you're right.
For generals, you get a whole bunch that are 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. You got a group from 5 to 14, and then you've got a group that have 23. And so I also did kind of the percentage of BSPCs to kind of give you because that's really where the equipment's in large part going to go, that central count. So what's the allocation of BSPCs I come up with? Percentages that are fairly significant.
You know, when I was having a conversation the other day about small counties and some of the struggles that they have with their voting equipment, and the idea was brought up, what about like regional counting centers? So if a county wasn't able to support with their vendor and their contract, what would it be like if whomever it is, the state, the college, the whatever, is in a regional area and is the ballot counting stations?
Well, then we're doing, I don't know exactly what Elbert County's election is going to look like this time, but I know Douglas and El Paso are helping out Elbert to make it so that they can work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, there's nothing that would stop.
Especially with us doing a uniform voting system, that type of a model is possible in those small counties where it, you know, that would be, yeah. I mean, we think about things like that when we do the contingency planning. We say, okay, if the equipment breaks down, where can I take it to, you know, currently the next door? But we could look at our map and see if, like, La Plata in your area or Grand Junction in your area, the small counties, if those could be, you know, centers, and then you get Pueblo in that area. And, you know, as I think about it, there's some mid-sized counties surrounding some of those small ones.
Mm-hmm. It's a possibility in the future.
Well, particularly when you're looking at some of the ones that have very small numbers of voters.
Right, mm-hmm. Like right. 725. Or 715.
Yeah, and that's the totals. Mm-hmm. Activity is as small as 600, so
mm-hmm. That's... Makes sense. You can see why they, per person, would be very expensive. I'm sure it's expensive for those counties to hire recording software vendors and... Well, I mean, like, there's more than just voting equipment.
We were talking about, you know, we've got some interest in doing something about the technology fund with recording. The large counties, that technology fund pretty well takes care of you. But the small counties...
if you save it.
If you save it. But the small counties, just imagine, And their contracts are just as expensive as yours.
I can't even imagine.
So it's the small counties that's dying on the vines with that technology fund. It just doesn't pay.
It's kind of the same with the voting equipment.
Yes.
They pay for the same part and services that others do.
So that's an idea, guys. I don't know how your counties would feel about that because it's a complete shift for them.
Does anybody have, I mean, you've already said that your counties around you and Mesa, or wherever you are, mm-hmm. are thinking about that. What about you?
Well, at least just discussing how we could better support each other regionally.
Yeah. I mean, what are the logistics of getting them balanced there?
Yeah, essentially you'd literally have to...
drive them.
Yeah, well, drive the in-persons, but right. For the mail, they could all come in to
right.
send back to
them. Yeah, be set up for
and the centers would have to have, mm-hmm. you know, be batched out for each county that you're representing.
Right.
You know,
a blue county, a yellow county, you
well,
know.
Like our machines. Whatever. And really, your judges would come from. I mean, I guess you'd have to talk to the parties, too. Because your judges are really going to come from a county where the counts happen.
Well, not necessarily. We had watchers in every call election. I don't believe it ever. Because Deb knew one of her judges down there when she came.
I saw that, yeah.
Well, there were several from, Aspen had watchers.
Well, it's something to keep in mind as we go forward, as we talk about money, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, as long as we keep it flexible enough for that to happen, that's what we need to do, is just...
It's not a mandate, but it's
allow them to enter into IGAs to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the county.
The counties can enter amongst themselves. Yeah.
No, I think sharing resources makes a lot of sense, and even large counties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We had a recall election. Douglas and Arapahoe sent some staff members to the ballot, so.
Jefferson County's got our VPAT machines right now.
Do they?
But we had extra, yeah.
Do they really now?
Yeah, see, I mean,
so that's how they're doing this election?
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, they have the VPAT from Mesa.
Because they didn't have the VPAT, so they had to.
It worked. It worked out. So can we move on to, I don't know if we're ready, but I have a question about software. Is that okay?
Sure.
One of the things I picked up in the bill is that in California, they talk about non-proprietary source code, and they also outline requirements for that to be open and accessible, and then also duplicated. And I don't know if I can find the spot, but they were talking about one of the things that had to happen with this open source code is a third party was required to come in and rebuild it. And I was wondering how everybody feels about proprietary software versus non-proprietary and the security risks.
You know, the off-the-shelf is where you get into a lot of the problems with prioritized software, because if you're using software that is from some of these big companies, you'll never get it. Microsoft, you know, I mean, that was the thing we ran into at federal level of talking about it, because if you're using off-the-shelf, you can't get that from these big companies. They're not going to give it to you. So some of the printers and some of the software that you'd be using, Word, whatever, you know, you cannot get that.
Well, it occurred to me that...
So then you're trying to write something yourself.
Well, I think that's where a lot of this is going, too.
Well, it is. Oh, this is.
Yeah, California is big enough where that may make sense.
And they've got a lot of... California's got a lot of technical people at the end of some of these companies that would love to get into it.
Here it is. It says, the requirements for the application to appear... I'm on page 9, paren 5. So that a neutral third party may create from the source codes in escrow executable object codes identical to the code installed on certified or conditionally approved voting systems or marking systems. And so I thought, with my experience, that proprietary software, kind of the traditional voting equipment, it was preferable because it was hard to hack it, essentially. If somebody wanted to take over, because if we go to a uniform system, that's one of the arguments against the uniform system, is that everybody has the same. So if one, essentially, virus is introduced, or one technician is bought off that happened to have control of all the equipment at some point, you know, I mean, it's totally conspiracy theory, and I think we all have a lot of security in our procedures that, you know, prevent against that kind of thing. But I just wanted to know how the group felt about proprietary versus non-proprietary and being that open with the source code of the...
I think that was written in there to allow Los Angeles to do what they want to do.
Yeah, I think so,
too. It's like a statewide policy.
I tell ya, I think you really have to look into and examine it. What we did at the federal level, I mean, there was a lot of problems with it. And places that have tried it, they've not been real successful so far.
Mm-hmm. Alan, there's not in this area, but our county is. Tried at various times to write our own software for various things, and it's prohibitively expensive, and lots of times it doesn't work the way it needs to, and sometimes they wind up shelving it and go back to getting something
purchased.
So I guess I'm not confident in that method. I think but I don't know that we need to specify that.
Do you guys go say just not even specifying it may be the way to go, because in the future you may see something designed that is open source that is wonderful and we want to buy, you know. But so I would prefer to just leave it open, I think. So that's an option either way.
I had another question too. Somewhere in here it talks about the system could be, you could use two different systems in the same election. And it talked about the candidates had to appear on the primary system.
Primary system.
Did that make any sense to you guys?
Well, California has gone to a new, how they, is it, a primary system, I get what you mean. It's not the primary election you're talking about, it's a primary system.
Right, yeah, it's like they had two different systems for different uses, but the candidates all had to appear on the primary system. And anyways, I just wanted to
know. Is primary not in there as the main system?
It may be in their laws, like if we went and looked at their books, but it wasn't in here. So, okay, well, if it didn't make any sense to anybody else.
I just want to go back to the software thing. I think that right now I see the movement more to software versus hardware in terms of running elections. I mean, you're still going to have hardware, but it could be more of the off-the-shelf type stuff. And it's going to be probably the proprietary software running that that's going to be where we're looking at. So I'm not sure, I mean, if we need to define it now, but I just think we need to make sure that it's flexible enough that there is that possibility.
That was what I was thinking, that, you know, make it flexible where we can go. Because the technology and the method of voting equipment is changing.
Today, what do you guys want to
Well, I think that that's one thing that we ought to bring up next time, is talking about the software and leaving it open, because I mean, if we do a piece of legislation, we don't want that in there, or don't want it amended in there.
Well, and I think what I understood our task for today's meeting to be was to review California's legislation and then essentially come out with an outline for Colorado's possibility for some legislation. Is that what you guys understood as well?
And I like the idea of the definitions. That's the first thing you need when you're doing legislation. I mean, and they had a lot of good definitions that we could utilize and really review. I think that's one of the things that I really liked about it. I think that they were really very wordy in their bill. They took each type of the system and copy basically the same thing over and over and over. So I don't think we need to do that, but I think there is some value in what they're saying. And one of the questions I have that they had in there is the fines that they were setting against the vendors.
Steep. I know, and will that do business in the state for 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, why would a vendor ever want to go in there? Because, I mean, how are you going to prove if it's a system issue or if it's somebody that programmed the issue? I mean, you know, I thought, whoa, my lands, this is only a court case meant to happen. This is a lawyer's dream. And I really am not in favor of making a lawyer's dream out of it.
Yeah. Well, it was obvious they had some sort of trouble with some vendor, and it was very strict.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that we were charged with is come up with a governance model, which is what I was
trying to accomplish here.
At least kind of looking at it.
One of the things that we need to, where he's got the lines drawn, or do we make it the very same as what's on the statute now of talking about the sizes of the counties and, you know, and who sits on committees?
Just so we can confirm, where are the tiers in the statute? They're 1.7, 1.5.
I was trying to do it based on actual voters and equipment.
Right.
So.
Which is, I think, useful. But I still think, some, like, I think La Plata, you do your own programming as well, right?
Right.
So some of those medium-sized counties, would you say it would be fair to say that you guys have the resources to maintain your system?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, some of it may depend on the economic health of the...
That too.
I don't know about Garfield, but Eagle Eye, they do their own programming too, don't they?
I don't know if they do or not, but I think Montrose did when Bill was there. I don't know, I'll have to ask Fran.
I mean, you could drop down to 20. The challenge is there's not a clear break.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's not just for now, it's for...
Mm-hmm. The future. I think where you put your brakes are appropriate because there is quite a jump from...
Mm-hmm.
In between those things.
Yeah. Well, maybe you just put another brake.
I was going to say, maybe you have one more brake and the mid-size, and then you have four on the governing body. And then I was interested that they have, of course, they have a bonding group that oversees the bonding money, the treasurer, the comptroller, somebody else that oversees the bonding money. And then they had a governance that was appointed and so in the bill that California did. So if we end up with a bonding method, we probably need to think about it, that type of a governance, and then the governance on...
And is it bonding, or is it a fund that you match, the counties match, dollars?
That's what we're going to have to decide, and
because we
want
to
talk to the treasurer's office.
You pay it back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like the state took out the bond.
Right, the state took out the bond.
Yeah, so we wouldn't have to do that because we'd be saying the state's going to pay into this a certain portion, and then the counties are going to pay into it a certain portion. So it's, I mean, it sounds like California might have the same Tabor issues, and they were trying to raise a bunch of capital at once. If we were going to do it as a phase-in with a pilot, then it might not be the situation where we have to come up with $400 million. If you have to do that, then I think you do need to go borrow.
Well, even if you look at buying equipment now with the amount of equipment we probably need, guessing instead of, I know Jeffco said, well, I don't even know if it's Jeffco. One of the large counties said instead of needing, was it 12 million, they'd need 3 million? I mean, there was quite a difference. What now with the model that we have versus the model, precinct model that we used to have, what would be the difference of expenditures in your county? Just off the top of your head, just guessing.
We don't need to spend anything.
5 million. Well, I understand, but
no. I mean, seriously, because the equipment that we did have can now be cycled in, rotated,
melt a little longer.
Melt a lot longer. And we're not looking at any expenditure, which is, I think, when we responded to the survey and saying we don't need anything.
That's what we need.
And just so the subcommittee knows, Suzanne asked me to do some cost figures, and I've gotten some industry averages that I'm working on. I'm trying to attach that to how many, what kind of equipment we think that counties are going to be using, and to come up with an overall state thing and be able to give you a number like, you know, it's going to be 25 to 30 million to be able to do the whole state or something like that. So I'm working on that, but I haven't got it yet.
Well, and the other scenario that we at least have to be aware of is the worst case scenario of you have a statewide elected official recall where the candidate petition isn't due till 15 days before the election.
We need a constitutional amendment. But I gotcha. If it doesn't happen.
At least right now, we at least have to have some way to run a statewide recall where you don't know the candidates until 12 days before the election, because turn in petitions on the 15th day. And I think most of what we need to do is under the 1303 model, but we at least have to be aware that sitting out there is this...
huge exception.
This huge exception that we can't simply say, we have no way of doing this. We've at least got to be ready for it. And now that you've seen recalls in Wisconsin and here, I think people are... there's an increasing risk that something like that can happen.
Well, maybe that's where you get your primary and secondary systems.
Primary and secondary systems.
So the primary is under the general rule and the secondary is... I mean, because remember, there was a provision in this last, well, it was a few years ago, that went to the people to take some of those deadlines out of the Constitution, and they voted it down. Mm-hmm.
But the reason they voted it down, they had no idea, they just didn't, there was no trust.
Well, I know, but that might...
Has that changed?
I think that the public sees that the Constitution, especially in the two counties, is an issue.
Maybe.
I guess I'm not confident.
We're not meeting a federal, if you've got a statewide recall, you can't meet the 45 days it's federal required by getting ballots out.
Well, that's a federal, that's not a federal office.
If you're statewide, you could have a recall.
No, not of a senator. The Constitution, I think, prohibits it. Mm-hmm. They've looked at, can you do it of congressional offices, and you can't.
I thought the Senate you could, but congressionally you can't.
I don't think you can. So I don't have to be impeached and removed.
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway.
But I'm looking at a governor.
But even if it's not the 45 days out, it's still a mail ballot. Yeah. And there's the next deadline in the election.
So I just think when we plan for one, we've got to at least be aware of the other. Because I'm not confident that people will change. Even if you get the legislature to agree to put it on the ballot. Because anytime the legislature puts a recall provision on, there will be suspicion from the people that this is to make it harder for the elected officials to be recalled. And particularly if you take things out of the Constitution, then they start thinking, so you're putting in statute, so you guys can just change it, monkey around with it, and make it.
Absent of constitutional fix, then it seems that you have to move to contingencies.
You have to at least have a contingency plan to say what happens if the worst case scenario occurs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I'm just saying in our planning, we have to have, and maybe that is the primary and secondary system.
Because I think the municipalities and the special districts are going to want to continue to do polling places and have that kind of equipment. So maybe that's where secondary model to how you're going to run something.
So, what order do we want to do things in?
Well, I think that we've got definitions that's pretty well in place. So I think we could skip over that.
Well, do we though?
It's a good start. We feel that we need definitions, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, that's true. We don't really need to get into the weeds in this meeting.
Right. That was why I was going. Mm-hmm.
Let's decide, what are you going to define?
Well, I think there's been a lot of confusion over what the voting system includes. Mm-hmm. Is it the actual vote count equipment, or does it include mail ballot delivery services, or does it include BOD, that previously that's not part of the certified system exactly? Well, I guess it is sort of. It has rules around it, but and conditional uses. But not the Everyone Counts piece or the SOE software before. So. Are we using SOE this fall?
I questioned my office the other day.
Yeah. You guys are email?
We sent all our data into it.
I mean, we could also include a lot of things in the definition of an election system, and then people could opt in or opt out of certain equipment. I mean, you can't mandate that everybody's going to use a signature verification machine, because a lot of people don't want to.
Exactly.
But to the extent you do, maybe there's, you know, a certain model that we're going to want people to use, and so that everybody's on the same standards. But I don't think that we can. So there may be room to, you know, I always hesitate to change the definition of voting system beyond HAVA, because that causes so much confusion. So I would just say you leave the definition of voting system the way it is, and then define maybe what the uniform election system is going to be, or, you know, use a different word just because that is so confusing. And then decide what you want.
And one of the reasons why the bids didn't go into, like, signature verification and that type of, one of the reasons, there were several, but one of them is there's no written standards.
Right. But there really should be. You know, I mean, we probably shouldn't have that equipment out there without
standard.
Some sort of standard. I mean, not that it should fall under a voting system and be, you know, subject to certification, but there should be some kind of standard for testing or auditing.
How many counties use the machine for signature verification?
Some of the counties use the equipment, but it's to sort the ballots,
right,
and things like that, yeah, rather than the signature verification.
But I'm talking how many actually use it to have a machine verify signatures and people only look at some of them.
I think there's only about three.
I think Adams, Douglas,
Boulder.
No, Boulder doesn't verify signatures with it, though. Jeffco doesn't either.
Mm-hmm.
So it might just be those two. And they're different machine. No, wait, Boulder has a different machine, but they're not actually using it for signatures.
Larimer has the machine,
but they haven't
utilized it to verify signatures.
Okay.
So I think there might only be two. Adams and Douglas.
And do they use the same machine?
I thought they did. I thought Boulder was the only one who was using it.
I could be wrong. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of us all use individuals that look at. I do.
Right.
Yes. Mesa does. Denver.
Denver.
You don't use people?
Yeah, I use people. I don't use machines. I use robots.
Question your answer.
She does it herself.
I do it all myself.
Yeah. Impressive. Results out in 3 years.
Yeah, really.
That's why she's got those dark circles under her eyes.
Yeah, really. Still doing it.
Okay.
So basically what we said is the definition for uniform versus voting system.
A uniform system.
Right. What that means. And we took painstaking the first few meetings we had and trying to come up. And I outlined it here in my little sheet of what was included in the one that we had. I think we need to make it a little more simple, but just my thought.
And as we move toward a uniform system, the other outstanding question is, what's the phase-in time?
I think we just start with the pilot. And then as it grandfathers out and people want to come in.
And that's the system that I like, which is you go with the pilot, and then as you get new stuff, you then
come in. As you choose to get new stuff, so that it's not a mandatory deadline. As people choose, and if some counties choose to get in and then they have extra equipment and they want to give it to another county and that county can make it work longer, but there needs to be a deadline.
And I think without it, you get a lot more county commissioner buy-in. If you're saying,
for sure.
Because that actually removes some of the challenge from them of picking the right system, but without the funding hassle of trying to come up with something. So until you need it, you don't need to buy it. That, I think, works.
I really think that we go with the pilot and try to, I mean, you know, with the pilot in mind, you know, it's a safety. I think it brings buy-in by the public, as well as the legislature, as well as the commissioners. You know, you may do two pilots. I mean, you may do a pilot and you think, gosh, we want to also see how another system works.
Well, and so is that a definition? Is it kind of where I was going, since we're on definitions? Is that a definition that needs to be laid out in this?
What, the pilot?
Yeah, what the pilot is, and then also the definition of...
Definition of how many counties is doing it, whether it's a two or three, and you do one of each size, you know, like it's kind of laid out here. You have a pilot, because, I mean,
Well, I think you'll get small counties, for sure you'll get small counties that say, I'm in, and maybe a large county, but I don't know if you could say one out of each one, because that's...
Yeah, I don't know that you
forced. You'd be forcing somebody
to come to the table. Yeah, I think you just see who wants to do a pilot, and then...
So don't actually put the size.
Well, I already signed up.
Well, you could put it in and said, this is, you know, in terms of your definition of what is the voting, uniform voting system program. And that definition, and then that's where you would put in the pilot and then the phase in and the...
It should be like something cool, like the Colorado voting.
Yeah.
Right, something cool.
Something that sounds better than
Mothership.
Kobe. Kobe. Yeah. Vacuum.
Yeah.
Sounds like a funny one.
All right.
You know the microphone.
I know. True. So
at least one pilot shall take place.
Yeah, and then there would be a report back to... But I think structurally, when you talk about that structure, you are going to need a finance group. Because even if you're not doing bonds, you're still talking about allocating state funds. And somebody, that's got to be housed in some state department. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be ours, as I said at the last meeting. But you probably do need, you know, the treasurer and, you know, and then you're going to have a JBC analyst making a recommendation to the legislature. So... You have to house it somewhere, and I think you need a finance group, and then you probably need a separate group to look at the implementation of the pilot and make recommendations. So you're probably talking about two different groups with different types of...
I like that idea from what they did in California, because the comptroller does get involved when you're doing statewide contracts. And so if the first one's being paid for by the state, it involves the treasurer and comptroller anyway.
Right.
Is there anybody else that it involves other than JBC?
Well, I mean, it would be wherever you house
the contract. Yeah, the contract itself, comptroller and the treasurer, and then whoever's housing it. And before we pick somebody to house it, we need to talk to some of these people to see if they're even willing. I mean, at one, we need to go to the governor's office because all the other agencies are really underneath him.
But, I mean, the legislature
can demand it, yeah. But it'd be kind of nice to say they are willing or they're not willing. They'd really rather not, I guess,
yeah,
is the way they'd be putting it.
Right. I'm trying to come up with an acronym that works.
I am too.
So Colorado Votes, and so Voting Transparent Election and System.
We're now
I'll bring my
online delivery.
Hello, votes. So voting, and then something, and then transparent election system.
Optimal. No, that's a cable company that just got bought by Charter.
But optimal.
But yeah, I think that could be your sort of technical expertise group.
And I guess here's what I was thinking. If you look at the group that's making the decisions, you've got, and you're trying to get legislative buy-in, and you're trying to ensure both parties have participation. So I'll throw this out as an idea. So what if the speaker appoints a clerk from the counties between 10 and 50,000 registered voters? The House Minority Leader appoints a clerk with less than 10,000.
Of opposite parties?
Well, if you've got the speaker and the minority leader, they'll be of opposite parties.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, they could appoint.
They could. Hey, if the Speaker of the House, who's a Democrat, wants to appoint a Republican, I guess they could. I'm not particularly concerned about that happening very often.
Well, and although, as you look at it right now...
Well, if you did 10 to 50, you've got a pretty wide variety of counties. If you did under 10, you've still got that. And then where I'd go is the Senate President. Appoints one, and the Senate Minority Leader, and then the SOS appoints two from different parties, and then the SOS has a rep on it. So you'd have seven. Six of them would be county clerks. One of them would be Secretary of State or designee.
Four. You know what would be nice to not duplicate effort is to copy the Covain Commission, right? Makeup? Or would that not be? I don't know. I'm just to ask you. Does it make sense?
How were they appointed?
There was a lot of different input.
There was two legislators. Two of them appointed. Was that?
How big does this board need to be, I guess?
Well, I started with seven because that's what C-STARS has.
Okay. C-STARS model.
So, and those are...
I like the odd number.
So the Secretary of State appoints two what?
Clerks. Clerks.
Oh,
of opposite parties.
Okay.
So
yeah, I guess what's the question you want clerks on there?
I mean, if you're talking about what actually makes an election, you're talking about how to fund the election, and C-STARS, I think, is clerks, all clerks.
Oh, okay.
I think it's, well, I guess... Okay, and Denver has their, whoever that person is, can be on there.
A motor vehicle.
Yeah, because, so that's not a clerk. It's whatever Denver has.
I don't think they're on it, so.
But they can't.
That's their bitch.
They can't.
They can't. So they want to be underneath me, so they can't.
Ah, okay.
That's one of their bitches.
Ah, okay. But that's how I came up with, if you're shooting for seven and wanting to make sure that you've got ones who actually deal with elections. And the governor really doesn't have much to do with the elections process.
No, he doesn't.
Which is why I don't have him involved. I don't have the treasurer involved or the AG.
And this is the governing board or a funding board?
This would be governing.
Governing.
Yeah.
I actually didn't have them distinguished because...
Kind of the same.
To me... Yeah, I mean, the funding is, you're allocating, you know, three people come forward and say, we'd like to access the funds, here's my matching grant, someone chooses. I just have to be the same group.
Now, it ran into a problem with C-STARS last year, where I'm remembering in the legislation where they didn't actually have the authority to say where the money went. Do you remember that, Danetta? We were in the middle of the legislative season and there was an issue in motor vehicle. And funds were moved between, maybe it was by the JVC or something. At any rate, we just need, if this is built, we need to make sure it's solid.
Yeah.
And that there's...
Because the C-Stars have lost money twice. Department of Revenue moved money.
That's what it was.
To supplement another department. And they were borrowing it, but it never got replaced.
That may be why you would want to put it in the secretary's office, because you wouldn't have that. You wouldn't have that issue of a bunch of funds.
We need to stop for a second.
We can pause for a minute while we
change.
Well, I changed the tape. And you're back in business.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
I guess, for me, sticking it in DOLA or DOR or some other odd place where they don't know anything about the elections process is troublesome. Because I'd rather have it in, it's going to be housed in the State Department, housed in a department that actually...
The only benefit to maybe DOLA is they deal with so many grants. If there was some ability to get some grant money someplace, because I mean, even if you were, I don't know, trying, if Sutton County was trying to program, and you know, the feds have some grants every so often that they're used to doing grants.
But the election grants, I mean, was the SOS that allocated the HAZO funds? Probably when you were there.
The SOS still allocates the HAVA funds, but in some states the clerks have some say how those funds also go besides the SOS.
Right. And actually, in the model I'm suggesting, they have a lot to say because they have six of the seven votes, with an idea that each of them are appointed.
And the legislation say that they have that authority of saying, and then the money would stay there. The SOS wouldn't say, let me borrow that money to...
Run a notary public training seminar?
Yeah. No, well, that or to say, I need a new system in my corporate department.
Yeah.
And I'll borrow it, and then I'll pay it back next year or something, you know.
Well, and I think if you've got six clerks on there...
Yeah, and then the state, I mean, if there's that authority there, the state audits that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to have the authority in the committee, because otherwise you have a situation where you have an executive branch agency who is subject to an audit, mm-hmm. being, you know, getting crosswise with the committee because they don't think that funds right. should be allocated. So I think you have to give full authority so that the executive branch can also not have that conflict.
So he's got how the, you know, a suggestion of how the board should be formed. I mean, who should sit on it? Mm-hmm. Then we need underneath that the authority and the duties. So that would be getting into your governance body.
Right.
And what else besides the duties and the funding?
Well, and maybe it's a subset within the funding, but I put the match,
okay,
a minimum match in there.
And would you get into certification of systems, or is that?
I think that's
a separate certification, and then the SOS has to certify. You couldn't purchase anything unless it had been certified.
Yeah.
SOS holds.
Yeah, the SOS is doing certification now. I would leave that there. But, I would
say in there that they can't buy until it has been certified. And I liked some of the language in the California bill on certification, because it said any certification, it didn't just say the federal standards, it said NIST also. Because there has been some certification that hasn't been approved because they don't have a board.
Or what was it?
But it would allow you to certify to the newest that has been written.
Well,
Yeah, like that part too.
And one option you could do is you could allow for a separate certification process by the state.
See you later.
Yeah, but thank you all. Really appreciate putting in the time. We're really happy to work on whatever model you come up with to try to get this moving. I think it's a good project.
Because you, so let me posit something. Let's say that LA comes up with a great system.
Yeah, and they say that if it's been certified by another state, I think that's another one. Yeah, certified by a state, or certified to the requirements of the EAC. They said EAC or NIT.
And reference the latest version, which is 1.1 of the BBSG.
Right. And certified to, even NIST, some of the, so that gives you a lot of things that you can choose from. It leaves the door open.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say that Colorado will write their own certification, because we don't have that capability. I mean,
I wouldn't prohibit it, which is why if it's certified by a state, then.
Well, and I think now that we've gone with the court decision that it's not okay to not count the successor candidates in a recall, that was about our only quirk, it seems like. because I remember going through the voting system certifications, and that was one thing that we had to pay attention to, that the system did specifically, different from any other, most places. So
California was with us still, their decision.
Yeah, to their decision. So, I think the certification piece should, other than that thing, I can't think of exceptions that we test for that are Colorado specific.
But in the law now, the state has the ability to certify, right? State can certify, accept another state's certification, accept federal. What we want to avoid is putting any any definitive standard in there.
That's right.
Yes.
The most current EAC or NIST or whatever, because we're tied right now to something that's unworkable.
That's 2002.
I would not stick a specific. It's kind of like a bylaws that say you use the most recent version of Robert's Rules of Order, which is better than saying we use the 12th edition of the white.
That part of the statute could definitely use the update.
So some of the language in the California model did make some sense, because it left it pretty wide open.
Well, the other thing is that it gave them there was a timeline.
Yes.
So once, I liked that a lot too. It was something that kind of made sure that if someone started into the certification process, they were going to get an answer.
Yeah, 30
one way or the other.
90 days was one with them in there, 30 days.
Yeah, and the problem with them, though, that will make the vendors, because you have to give a bail if, that's the problem with the system we have at the federal level now. Every time they find something wrong, what one of the companies were doing, and we said, no, you can't do that, was sending it home, and then they'd start all over. But every time they find something, and maybe you write the whole report, and if there's something wrong, they have so many days to complete to correct the malfunctions of the system, or there's a word for it. But anyway, if the system that comes in is not ready, and boy, are those systems, that's the reason why it takes so long federally to certify them. They're bringing in junk, to tell you the truth.
let me ask actually on the federal certification. Would we, and I don't know the answer to this, which is why I'm asking it, if they come up with a new version and a vendor is certified under a different version, would we want to say that it can't be used? Because
not if the county already has purchased it.
So I think we need to say it can be certified under the most recent, but I think we also may want to address
upgrades.
Well, if it's a prior system that was certified under the, you know, let's say that they came up with a standard of 2013 and then in 2014 they came up with a new standard, I wouldn't want to say that you couldn't still use the 2013 standard.
Correct, yeah. Well, you have to give them so much time to come
I think
up
that's
with
the grandfather piece.
Yeah, the grandfather.
This is one, though, even if you don't already have it, or if you've got some of that equipment, you may want to go back and say so you've got 18 machines and one dies. You could still buy that machine. That's, I think, the part that is it a bad system if it doesn't meet the current standard, but it met the prior standard?
We gave so much time, like 5 years, that they come up with the newer version. Especially if it's software, if it's, you know, you got to think, if it's hardware,
yeah,
you know, but if it's an update in security and it's software, you can give them so much time to come up with that because they're not changing the hardware.
Yeah. So I'm thinking.
I mean, they do that all the time. Just think about the new versions you get every so often.
Right. So let's say that Mesa buys a new system and Jeffco wants to buy their old system to supplement where they're at to give them a few more years' time. And it wasn't their system before, but...
Well, right now, the way the rules are, they couldn't do that without the Secretary's approval.
I think in terms of how we write it, but in terms of how we write it, it's the then current standards, but you can also use, maybe it's 5 years, I don't know what the answer is, but I think there probably ought to be an exception provision in there, as you just said, for the Secretary's approval.
If you're sharing with another county or, you know, I mean, if you're buying new.
Not getting an upgrade.
Yeah, but let's say that, you know, Teller County decides that Los Angeles, California has bought this new system and they're offering their old system for cheap, but Teller County buys 8 machines from them, which completely runs their system for 10 years. Should they be able to do that?
Not unless, not if you're going to do uniform, not unless it's part of your uniform system.
Okay. So,
I'm saying,
right.
If you're going to go uniform, it would have to meet the specific requirements that the original system was purchased under.
Okay. So could we, so you can't buy it from out of state, can you buy it from in-state? So Mesa gets a new system and...
I would...
Oregon wants to use.
There again, not unless it met your uniform system.
I guess I would say not a total new system, but if it's supplementing, like right now, I'm giving certain extra equipment that I'm not using, mm-hmm. that would supplement someone's existing system versus a whole new system.
Okay.
I would like to see that flexibility.
So
the exact same system to the next.
Right.
So that is not in use can be supplemented or that's not
shared.
Shared resources or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, then that's one of those where if you need, you know, if I've got a great system, one machine dies, do I have to buy a completely new machine?
Well, and I don't think there's a problem with buying them out of state, too, if you're doing that, supplementing your system.
Okay.
Replenish components.
Now,
replenish might be the...
You know, when they're talking about heart, do you allow for the future? I mean, they've got a system, and if they're allowed to buy the new Windows software in it, that makes our system usable for, you know, probably 10 years. But if they're not allowed to do that, they're out of luck this next year. So do you allow that also? And I mean, I would.
Well, that would be a supplement to the system. It's not.
That's right. It's a supplement to their existing system. So I would think that would be part of okay, this. Right?
And so you could wind up with a system where I just supplement periodically and I never come onto the new system.
Yeah.
We will never get a uniform system in the state.
Yeah, so that
way. You could say up to how many years?
This is where you get kind of complex because if you're trying to say we're trying to get to a uniform system, well, if I buy a new machine each year, I may never need another machine. So, I don't know.
Well, but then if a good enough job is done on the, and we get a good solid RFP and a pilot system goes well, you know, you're going to get those counties that are going to start to get on board.
If you get the funding.
Yeah, and the funding is identified.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a natural progression towards that. There could be a few holdouts that buy one machine.
Well, so, in some cases, yeah.
Keep going.
If, you know, so I'll pick the one with 600 voters. If you're San Juan County.
The way we write this could hurt all those small counties with cars.
No, they don't use the Why would you spend $40,000 on a machine if
you got 600 ballots?
You got 600 ballots.
Well, that's the max.
And
that,
I was going to say that'd be 100% participation, too.
At a max.
So I think that is one of the things that we have to give that flexibility to. But yeah, I can see some of the ones, okay, so maybe they just hand count, but if so.
So now, three counties that hand count.
Now I'm going to ask, okay, if you're doing central counting and possibly programming, are you going to have those counties by the ballot type or the ballot that, instead of just a paper ballot that has the tear off, the old fashioned, and no barcodes, no nothing, is it going to meet the requirements so it can be counted in another county?
No, the other county, whomever is, however it's built that this dream regional center is working, would have to do all the ballot put layout and the programming and contract for the printing.
And
the delivery of the ballot part.
I just want this,
let's think about these small counties that still hand counting. How would we do that if we had the, I gotcha.
And so I think what the rules need to do, or the statute needs to do, is leave that free for that to happen, but not mandate it.
Right, right.
Because I don't think we're ready to go to there yet. Mm-hmm.
But I would tell you, some of these small counties, even the really smallest, would say, I have no idea what I'm doing, especially a brand new one, because they only have one person in the office. I'm sure that
Plotta can tell you plenty about
the areas she's in with her real, real small counties of her said, okay, I'll do your Tabor notice for you. You know, like what you're doing. You know, it's not known, but La Plata does a lot of the small counties that she's got around her.
Well, and when we went into Sawatch, which is pretty far down this list and around there, so yeah, there were a lot of things that weren't being done.
Yeah.
And if you go to a central, or a, not a central, but regional count kind of thing that's authorizing everybody going in, the counties don't have to buy equipment.
Right.
Because they're not counting.
Right.
So, that's.
But I mean, that's really where our need is. From all of our surveys.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's the smaller counties that don't have the technical resources nor the funds that are saying, please sign us up, you know, for help.
And they didn't divide it, but I mean, this would be one of those helps. Could be.
I think we really, I mean, that regional thing, I think we need to spend some time on that and really talk to our clerks.
Could be the pilot.
And do a pilot of a region or something.
Mm-hmm. So what would be the vision of that? Like, say I was a you know, my region down there. So would I, my staff would be the ones to?
We'd have to fund some staff.
Okay, because I was going to say,
Is there an opportunity for private enterprise to create a regional accounting center and contract with counties to do their accounting.
Or use a college in the area.
Well, and what you've got. I mean, Elbert's been paying Douglas to do their score entries. So right now, so some of that is taking place now. And certainly could continue, but part of what you'll have to overcome is, right now, I as a voter get to elect my clerk, and I get to make sure that person's, if we've entrusted to someone, I...
Well, it's that clerk's decision to enter into a contract.
So that's right. Why I think you're dealing with a voluntary situation.
Absolutely.
Where
right.
The
right.
People ultimately still have control and can say, my clerk did what? They're trusting El Paso County or Denver County to count their ballots.
No, I think it is
oh, God.
A party contract.
It
well. Makes a lot of sense.
Well, and to start, that clerk, I think, would do a, you know, open meeting yeah. to have people come yeah. in and she present what she wants to do. I want La Plata County, I'm going to contract. I'm looking at contracting. You never be
well,
put in the right form. I'm looking at contracting with La Plata County to do this and this. It will save us money, taxpayer dollars, in the amount of such and such if I don't have to buy $40,000 worth of voting equipment. If I have them do it in every 10 years, we have to do something like that. I can pay them $5,000 a year to run our elections or whatever. I mean, I'm only making up numbers.
Yeah. Well, and just like we contract with private enterprise to do ballot insertion.
Mm-hmm.
And we send someone up to monitor it.
In the printing. Mailing.
In the mailing and the printing. Mm-hmm. So we go up, we send a clerk up to monitor it so we can tell our voters.
Yep, we saw it.
We saw it. They're sending the right ballots out.
I will have a watcher. I will have a staff member there that will be taking part. So
if La Plata is doing it, then you still might have the adjoining counties would provide some
staffing
even to come over and do it.
I did that with the cities when I ran the city elections in Arapaho. They could come in and they even did data entry, the cities did. And you know, they helped with the election. And that took some of their cost away that they didn't have to pay the amount.
I tried to sell this in Oregon, an all-male state, and it didn't fly.
A regional county?
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
it may not fly.
Not Tiffany may have been a clerk.
We haven't talked.
I wasn't sure. I never was a clerk in Oregon.
Oh.
we have now some consolidation, some assistance. But it's a voluntary program. And so I think enabling the voluntary program will get a lot better buy-in than mandating it.
So if we ran the pilot, I mean, did one with a regional count and one with another county, just a single standalone? I mean, I think that, you know, showing will have 1,000 words or much better acceptance than.
And I think how many pilots we do may depend on how many systems we want to pilot.
Right.
We won't know that until we get the RFP responses back.
That's right.
We may have two great ones, or we may have one.
Just one. But we may have two systems. One may be better for regional issues, and one may be for individual.
That's true. Scalability.
Scalabilities. Yep.
So can this group then kind of take this, and thank you, Deb, for your outline. And what we've talked about here today, and kind of try to somewhat insert it into where our statutes are, to come out with an outline via email and just make sure it's posted. Each email is posted, or I mean, it's open for public inspection always. But I'm trying to think about our time frame and how much time we have, and if we want to present the rest of the group with a meaningful outline by the next time we meet. We're still going to have to work on this a little bit longer.
So I will send out an email with proposed language for the body.
Okay.
Since that's what I already started working on, the governing body.
Oh, the governing?
Kind of on the outline, so then we can modify it if we don't like what's.
My energy is in certification and definitions.
So you must send, take the lead on that, draft that up, and send it out.
How about if I do the pilot then?
Okay.
What was Sheila?
I want definitions and the certification language.
Deb's going to work on the pilot. Is that all three of them? Is that certification?
Funding. Are you going to do funding with the governance? Okay. Funding with governance.
Funding, yeah.
I'll review and give comments.
Liking that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm liking that one. I'm working on the conference, so.
That's true. It takes a lot. I know.
Yeah, it does.
You won't be vested in anything that's written, so you'll be objective.
Well, and that gives us then, because when you're actually talking about writing it, you can't write very easily by committees, but
right.
We review it by mm-hmm. committee.
And mm-hmm. so what kind of timing are we looking at for?
When's our next big meeting?
Don't have a chair. She has no idea.
Let's see. It's on my calendar.
Sometime in November.
Is it November?
I think we have one in October.
Because of
did you have one in October?
If there's a time you were going to be in town in October, then maybe we could get together again, the five of us at least, and review it and talk about it. And I think that, you know, when you're face-to-face, I think you accomplish more than just...
Yeah, but there's with the election going on, I think this is probably my last trip until the election is over.
Okay. All right.
But we could still send drafts out by a certain time.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe if we send...
And, I mean, we could set up, too, with this group for a Google Doc.
And maybe the day you have the meeting in November, we meet and really review it that morning before the 12 o'clock meeting. Would that be a possibility?
Why don't we set an October time frame for getting out the drafts we're doing, and then depending on how much discussion we think we need to have.
Mm-hmm. Go from there and figure out what we need.
Because this is a draft we're giving the group. It's not the set in stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even have anything in November for uniform.
We neither have anything.
I don't have anything on my calendar.
Anything.
I don't think we have anything.
I thought we said it.
I didn't set it, but maybe the appointment
didn't
go on.
Let me get my purse. I've got my iPhone here.
Yeah, I don't have mine.
So, but what would be reasonable in October? Like October 18th?
That sounds reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Friday.
So we'll email out our... Drafts by October 18th. And then Al can post them so that we're in compliance mm-hmm. with all the provisions of the law. And
then do you just wanted to respond to each other in making edits to the drafts, or do you want to me to set up a Google Doc to where everybody can go in and view everybody else's comments? That's what we did with the technical volunteers,
where
we did the system requirements. That works pretty well, because then it's a living thing. Mm-hmm. You see it in real time.
Let's try that.
Okay.
Now,
we do not have anything set.
Yeah, okay. I thought we did.
So the 15th or the 22nd is going to be, because before you've got... You're closing up your election and stuff, so I don't
maybe that's why
they
didn't
do anything
on the
15th. We were thinking about, we could have recounts. Did we say, let me go on to December.
I do think we were talking
UBS, about December the 12th.
Okay, really?
And that's a Thursday.
Next meeting?
Mm-hmm. That's the one we set. All of a sudden it dawned on me, we weren't sure
that
about
recount.
That
one's going to be, I need to talk to the chair about that. But
that one, we were just going to go over RFPs.
That would be an all-day meeting to do RFPs, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I thought we decided to start at 12 as opposed to 1. I remember that discussion.
Well, but if we're doing RFPs, I bet we need the whole day.
So we may need a pre-meeting to that with the whole group to review an outline for legislation.
Right.
For that purpose.
We really do, because we'll have to have legislation ready to go and figure out a sponsor.
Yeah, by the 1st of December, don't you think?
Do we want to bump up then our response, or sending it out to October 15th? Just when we're mailing out ballots.
Oh, so we got some.
I'm just thinking, if the closer you get towards the VSPC setting up and everything else, the less... Mm-hmm.
You're right.
True.
So let's do it. That's still 2.5 weeks to come up with something. Let's do that.
That's fine. And then maybe we could do a meeting with the whole group at the end of October. Well, no, before VSPCs are set up. I don't know when's a good idea, actually.
VSPCs go in effect on the 28th. So at that point, I think we're...
But this is a coordinated one. I mean,
that's true.
It's not... Yeah. Why do you keep doing this?
That's true. I know exactly why you're doing that.
We have 7 of them that are going into operation. Actually, 6 are going into operation on the 28th. Our main office goes in before that, actually.
My last coordinated recount.
The 2 tight races.
Did you really?
I believe. No, we had a huge recount our last coordinated.
Yeah.
Our biggest, second biggest school district had
that. That would be ours. That's what we need. 2
both school districts.
But
what would the suggestion be to have the rest of the group look at our work and be at a point where they can discuss it?
Well, yeah, it would be if you have it set up in Google Docs. Could they access it too?
What if you did?
They can if you want them to.
Hopefully by October 30th, things that the VSPCs will have been running. Is that a good day to shoot for? It's kind of a relatively calm.
It is.
I think we should try at least, because we need to get, if we're going to move for legislation, we have to get it in front of somebody quickly.
So let's
get a drafter and everything. Yeah.
So... We'll do Google Docs from the 15th to the 25th, and then plan on having something for the committee to review by the 30th.
30th of October?
Yeah. So anywhere. Why leave that to Sheila?
Well, can we do it via WebEx like you were talking about? Or, you know, some sort of...
Well, we could have the WebEx, and you could also have people that could attend and do the 2 different things.
So in that case, probably Secretary of State's office. Because that's right by Deb, it's right by Al, and then those who want to can go in, and those who can't can join.
And, it would be nice to be able to see a WebEx, though, because that's, I think, the hardest thing when you're reviewing a document from the phone.
Yep.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what our capabilities are there, but with Google Docs, getting in multiple people in a meeting like that, we'll try.
Most of us are there, and you do a WebEx.
We've done that, in our place, WebExes. I think we've done them.
And Lada does them for ESRC.
Well, it's
Sam's mom. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she does it. Yeah.
Tiffany's voice on the phone. Right. Nice. You're looking like a rock star.
Do we want to go to Denver so we can make sure we can do the WebEx?
Deb, if you guys are used to doing that.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Why don't we do it in Denver then?
All right, Denver, what time on the 30th?
I'm a fan of not having to drive in rush hour, so the noon time frame actually works pretty well. And then if Sheila decides she wants to drive over, she can, or fly over either way.
Sounds good.
What time?
Noon to 3.
Okay.
And that way we're out before the rush hour as well.
Flight too.
Yeah.
everything goes. I mean, I could pick you up and then drive on down.
Like we did last time.
Because that's not that, you know. It flies into Jeffco on an airline that's much more reasonable, and then I can pick her up.
Is there a Jeffco to Grand Junction?
Mm-hmm. It's dianoway.com.
And it's, it goes into Centennial. Have you tried that one? It's just the better times to Jeffco.
Just depends on what times you want to go.
Right.
If you want to fly over in the morning and back at night, it's Jeffco. If you want to come in at night and fly out on a morning, it's Centennial.
Centennial, because I've done the Centennial one.
It is nice.
It is nice.
So I could pick you up. Okay. And then drive on down to Denver and then take you back.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Let's go with that now.
All right. So October 15th to the 25th, we're going to do Google Docs.
Yeah.
And then on October 30th,
your
WebinX.
Mm-hmm.
At my place. Webinar, WebinX, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
And that way, if someone does wind up with issues they can stay and deal with, they can still access it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am hoping by October 3rd, which will come reasonably smooth.
True.
Well, I think this was a good start, guys.
Yeah, this is a great start.
Good start.
I do want to apologize. I think I mislabeled the subcommittee name on the meeting notice. I said on legislation, but I think you said it was supposed to be Subcommittee on Governance, right?
Well,
what do you want
I
to
think
call it?
Both. I think you're
legislation
right.
Legislation and governance.
Right. And governance.
Okay. Well, what we just came up with is definitely both.
Yeah. Yes.
So that, that's what you want to call it?
Governance will be legislated.
Yeah. Legislation and governance?
Right.
As a title? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for
thank
also
you.
Adjusting your schedule.
No problem.
Or open.
It was okay. I stayed the night with my brother and found out that he does P90X at 5 a.m.
Oh, no. It's an exercise program.
Did you do it with him?
I did.
Oh, you go, girl.
You're a
sister.
She's ready to move.
Yeah, she's going to be sore because I have a feeling.
Are you adjourned? I'll turn
no, that's that boxing and kicking
and a lot of wall sits and lunges and squats.
Wow.
At 5 a.m. So that's why you were here on time despite the backup.
True that. I was ready for a burrito.
We didn't do that well.